Welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Crompton. I'm Laura Crompton and I'm here to tell you about my journey to Los Angeles as I move from Manchester, hopefully in the next few months, and also meet some really interesting people who have made the same move. Now, I've got an amazing guest coming up today, someone a bit different, finally a woman, guys, because we've had a lot of men on this show so far, so we're so ready to get some women through the door, and the next couple of guests are going to be female, I'm very pleased to share. But today's guest is someone who I've developed a personal friendship with over the last few months, and someone that, for people around the world that consume content about LA, she's a recognizable face within the city. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her later, but we are delighted to welcome Vanessa Villela to the show. In the meantime, yeah, a little bit about what's been going on with me recently. The eagle-eyed amongst you might have noticed that it's been a little bit longer than normal between the last two episodes. There's been a bit more of a break. In fact, the original idea with the podcast was that I was going to do one episode every 2 weeks, in part, you know, to give me some time to actually have some updates to share with you. And also, this isn't my full-time job. I do have a full-time job and a child. And to make it more manageable, to give me the chance to dedicate time and energy to those interviews. And I think I got a little bit overexcited with the first three, and I got very lucky that I had three interviews lined up very early doors, and I threw them straight out there. And to be perfectly honest, with all the uncertainty that had been going on around my visa, it was such an amazing distraction to have somewhere to focus my energy. And then the last couple of weeks, I made a conscious decision to slow down with the podcast. But also, I think in doing that, it's kind of left a bit of a vacuum. And that vacuum has allowed me, if I'm completely honest, to feel a little bit shit about things, about the uncertainty and about how long it's taking to resolve the visa issue, and the fact that so many of the decisions that I've made over the last year were around the fact that I'd planned to be moving to LA now. And, you know, best case scenario, I'm probably going to be moving in about 6 weeks. So 6 weeks might not seem the longest time in the world. And I guess if I had the absolute certainty that I would be moving in 6 weeks, that would be easier. But at the moment, everything is still a little bit up in the air. And not having the podcast over the last week or so has really kind of brought that into focus. So thank you to all my friends who have talked me off a cliff edge a little bit this week and listened to me and provided a sympathetic ear. There's nothing really that anyone can do, but it's really nice to have people listen and acknowledge that it's a bit of a rubbish situation. So really, really appreciate that. One of my friends that I was talking to about this, I was saying to him, like, what am I even going to talk about anymore? I mean, I don't have much in the way of updates. I don't want to eke it out too much until I've got this visa appointment. And he was very smart. He said to me, look, this podcast is supposed to be about my real experience about moving to LA as a Brit. And with that, there are going to be ups and downs. It's going to be a roller coaster. It's not always going to be positive and exciting. And actually, having spoken to other people who have been through this process, almost everybody has had visa issues in some way, shape, or form. So actually, this is a really authentic part of the experience that maybe people that are about to embark on the journey should be prepared for mentally, and I suppose also in their kind of planning and their timescale. So here we are talking about the inaction and the uncertainty, but I think it's a valid part of my story. So I guess I will give you a quick update on the visa, because I know that I've probably been a little bit vague with what happened. Essentially, the visa that I'm applying for requires me to be a manager or an executive, and the immigration department came back and said they needed more evidence of that. Now, between you and me, there's a bit of a question as to whether they genuinely needed more evidence or whether they needed more time, because they had one day to go before the deadline for response when they actually came back and said this. And it was during the Christmas break when presumably a lot of people were out of the office. So make of that what you will. But nonetheless, we have spent, my lawyer and my employer and myself and all of my team, in fact, because I've had to get documentation from most of the people that I work with, have all spent the last 4 weeks or so gathering everything together. And I think we've got a really strong case now. So it's pretty much ready, back with immigration any moment now. And 2 to 3 weeks from now, we'll have an answer. It'll be a yes or a no. There'll be no more maybes. There'll be no more requests for extension. It's a yes or it's a no. So one of the things that I have actually determined is I'm not going to do another podcast episode until I have an answer. So maybe a bit of a cliffhanger, a bit of a teaser, but next time you hear from me, I'll have a visa or I won't have a visa. Watch this space. It's funny though, because a good friend of mine, Sophie, who does know about this stuff, she works in, she does a lot of US immigration through her work. She actually months ago said, do you know, mate, it's going to be closer to Easter before you move. I wouldn't think it would be happening in January. And I sort of scoffed at her and I was like, no, it's going to happen in January. And yet here we are. So she was right. So Sophie, you were right. But let's hope she was also right with her prediction that it would all come true and come through in the end. Fingers crossed. But in the meantime, I am trying to stay positive, stay focused, and act as if I'm definitely going. So one of the things I have done is I've booked a day off work next week, and I'm going to start decluttering the house because, my God, there is so much to do. So I'm going to do a big charity run or Goodwill store run, depending on where you're from. Start to clear out the house. I've been looking again at apartments. I've been looking at cars. I even joined a Facebook group for Brits in LA. 17,000 people, by the way, in that Facebook group. So I'm hoping to try and share this podcast in the Facebook group, but I've been told it's promoting a small business, so I have to find a way to do that. But I'm figuring it out. So if you found this through the Facebook group, welcome. Thank you for joining. But yeah, I'm looking forward to joining the 17,000, would you believe, British people over in LA before too long. So thank you so much to everyone in that group who has provided invaluable information in terms of what I'm going to need to take with me, documentation, all of that stuff. Seems like a really welcoming community. And I'm excited to get over there. I'm feeling more positive. And only time will tell. So thank you to everyone for your advice and your support and your good vibes. Don't ask me when the next episode is coming out, because you know the answer. It's coming out when I have, or I don't have, a visa. You'll get an episode either way, so bear with me. Today we are joined by Vanessa Villela. She is an award-winning Mexican-American actress. She began her acting career in early life performing in a variety of TV shows and soap operas, including El Señor de los Cielos, Una Maid in Manhattan, and Eva Luna. And her works have been televised in over 120 countries. In 2021, Vanessa became even more recognized on the global stage when her job as a realtor at the famous Sunset Boulevard property agency, the Oppenheim Group, catapulted her onto the Netflix phenomenon Selling Sunset. And just a few months ago, she married her lovely husband, Nick Hardy, who is from the best place to be from, Manchester. Vanessa, welcome. Thank you so much.
Hi, Laura. Hello. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. It's such an honor to be in your show. I'm super excited and I'm super happy for everything that's happening to you.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love that the fact that we've crossed paths a few times in the last few months, and each time it feels like I'm getting one step closer to being in LA. So hopefully next time it will be in person, in real life.
I can't wait.
So, as you know, this podcast is about LA and about your relationship with the city. So tell me a little bit about how you got to be in LA, where you were before you arrived, and sort of how that transition happened for you.
Well, I mean, I moved from Mexico City to Miami around 18 years ago, and I had some friends living here, so I came, like, you know, a couple of times and spent some time in LA, and I was not really excited about the idea of moving here because I feel that maybe I was in the wrong area. I mean, when I was staying here, I was, like, you know, in different areas of the city where I would feel, like, very lonely and, like, you know, was like nothing there. Plus, my English was not good at that time. I was able to understand, but not to speak. So I was very shy about speaking to people. So I think that's why, in my head, it was a little bit more scary. And I think I was in a different space in my life and in my head and in my heart and everything. So Miami was incredible for me at that time. And then, one day I was like, you know what? I think I need to give it a try. I really need to move there and see what happens, because I've been an actress my whole life, since I was 4 years old, and I wanted to do something different and something more, and I wanted to represent Latinos and my country in a different level, and not only in soap operas. You know, I wanted to do something different, because I was, like, I think I was stuck in playing villains, which is far from who I am. And I'm, of course, when you're an actress, you can do anything, but you don't want to play the same role over and over. And I wanted to just have fun and do something different. And then I felt that it was time for me to do it. So I moved here. And I think that immediately I fell in love with the city because I was in a different space in my head, in my heart. I was coming with dreams in and yeah, it was just exciting. And a new city, and very similar to Mexico City, which is crazy because I have the same weather, you know, obviously lots of restaurants, loads of similarities. So I felt at home.
Yeah, it's interesting because LA, as I'm sure you know, has more Mexicans than any city in the world except Mexico City. So more Mexicans even than, I don't know, Monterrey or Guadalajara.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So how important has the Mexican community in LA been for you as a Mexican person?
Well, I didn't know this when I moved here. And I don't see many Mexicans. I think where I live is I think that we're all spread out.
Right.
So, and LA has so many people in the city. It's crazy. Like, but I had my Mexican friends here, which obviously were my brothers and sisters and all that I consider friends like brothers and sisters, especially when they're like friends, like real friends. I feel that they're like brothers and sisters that we choose, you know, in life. And I think that those were my Mexican family. I mean, yeah, people here, but obviously they help to have them around.
Yeah. So you first arrived in LA and suddenly it felt different to you. You felt like it was more welcoming. I mean, one of the conversations that I had on my first episode was with a guy that he'd only moved from Chicago, but one of the differences that he felt was that he felt that LA was much more closed and private, that it was more difficult to kind of mingle with your neighbors and kind of wander around the city and kind of discover and meet people. You kind of had to know people or know how to move around. Did you find that? And how did you sort of make those first connections and kind of settle in those early days?
I mean, I think at the beginning it was really helpful that I had other friends, from actor friends that are like really close to me, like one of my best friends, Eugenio or Litzy. They were both living here at the same time. So for me was, I think I was like, you know, close to them and they were close to me all the time. We were like hanging out every day probably. But definitely I found it a little difficult to make new friends, especially like real friends. You know, I feel that LA is a very big city and it's, you know, like some people will not make the effort to go and drive, you know, if you live in the west side of the city and then the other one, like people really don't make the effort. Like they're into their own thing and they're into their own, you know, yeah, dreams, I guess, and life and everything. And they just, it's just different, and especially me being Latina, I do feel that, you know, it's not that warm, welcoming, if that makes sense, at the beginning. But I mean, there's a lot of incredible people as well that I have met along the way, and I am happy where I am. I think LA is a land of dreams, and there's full of opportunities. And if you believe in yourself and you keep, fighting for your dreams, not necessarily fighting in a bad way, but like really making things happen. I think there's a lot of incredible things that can happen here.
I agree. I mean, I agree from an outsider perspective, but I suppose that's the way that I look at the city as well. That's one of the things that I'm very excited about when I move to LA, I think is the amount of opportunity that's there. No, when you, I feel like there's no excuse really. If you want it and you work for it, you should be able to achieve it.
Yes, exactly.
So in that regard, it lived up to expectations. Does it feel like home for you now? I mean, would you consider, if someone says, where are you from? Are you from LA now or are you still from Mexico?
No, I'm Mexican forever. Yeah. Like, I love my country. I love my roots. And that's one of the reasons why I haven't even tried to improve my accent even more. At the beginning, when I moved here, I was like, you know, told that like, you cannot speak. My accent was way thicker. and I will feel so shy to make mistakes because people will make fun of me, and you know, some people will not make fun of me in a good way, so it will close me off even more. But then one day I was like, you know what, at least I speak two languages, what about you? And right. I literally said that to a guy that made fun of me. And I was like, well, at least I speak two languages. Do you speak any other language besides English? And then he went like, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I do. And I make the effort. So stop making fun of me. And I just, you know, release the fear. And I just embrace who I am. And I love it. And I love my accent. And I actually, I found now a lot of people that like that love my accent. So why get rid of it? I think that one of the reasons why I wanted to get rid of it also is because in acting, which is the reason why I moved here, they want you mostly without an accent, especially the way I look, because in their minds, I not necessarily look Mexican because I'm, you know, green eyes and fair skin, and it's not like, you know, their typical idea of a Mexican, but we're in Mexico. We have all kind of, you know, like green eyes, blue eyes, brown eyes, you know, yellow eyes. It's like we are not just one. But that's how they see it. So if I was going to an audition, they would be like, oh, you look Italian or you look Spanish or, but right. Mexican, really? Are you from Mexico? And that's the last place that I expected you to be. And I think it's because they continue to put the same, you know, the same style of people in the movies or TV shows. So that's all they know.
But no, I think it's really cool that you're, embracing who you are. And I mean, I'm speaking a little bit from the outside here, but it feels like there's a change happening now in Hollywood when you see, you know, some of the recent castings, the Jenna Ortega, Ana de Armas, like that are kind of...
Ah, definitely. Thank God. I think, honestly, I think Sofia Vergara opened that door for us. Salma, obviously Salma Hayek, I mean, mm-hmm. she's an incredible, gorgeous, talented woman, Mexican. But she has more like the Mexican, you know, look. And literally she's super exotic and gorgeous, so, you know. But I think Sofia is the one that opened up more like the idea that Latinas can look a little bit like, you know, even like blonde, or even though she dyed her hair dark and all that, like I think she changed a lot the game. And of course, Ana de Armas, I mean, 100%. Like, she's an inspiration to me too, because it's like, if she was able to play, you know, Marilyn Monroe, even though she's not American, I mean, the opportunities are there. You just need to make it happen. And in starting with my, you know, my sister's death, I mean, that completely put my life in a standstill for mm-hmm. at least 3 months. And then I decided to take a break from everything and really heal my heart. That's all I wanted to do, is was heal my heart. I was completely depressed and completely like, you know, how am I going to come out of this depression and sadness that I feel, and my heart was so broken that I wanted to just do something different. And then I followed the advice that she gave me, kind of. I mean, first, like when she passed away, my life was just, you know, completely change, and she had a staging company, so I took over her staging company, and nothing was really happening with that staging company. So that's when I asked her for a sign, and I went to an open house to, you know, offer my services as a stager. And the realtor that was there, like, he was like, no, I want you to work for me. And I was like, but I'm not a realtor. He's like, I don't care, you know, get your license, you are amazing with people, and I think you're going to be very successful. So I was like, wow. I mean, it's very similar to what my sister told me when she suggested to me before she passed away to become a realtor. So I took that, you know, that sign, because it was very clear. And then I started studying, and then I got my license, and then everything I wanted, and the office that I wanted to work in, and everything was just like flowing so easy and smooth and perfectly. And I was just enjoying so much the process of all of it. And I do love real estate. My sister was right. So I got a little lost in the question.
No, but that's incredible. That's incredible. And so your sister was working in real estate.
So yeah, my sister was a realtor in San Diego, and okay. she was very successful. And because I was sometimes not doing soap operas or TV shows, like she told me, why don't you do real estate in your free time? Mm. I mean, she said you're amazing with people and you love helping people. So those are the two key factors. Like 80% of the job is done with that. The other 20% is like getting the houses and contracts. But the rest, you have it. So is the other one is just like, you know, learn how to do it and all that. So you can do it. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And I started studying, but I got a TV show. And then I went to Mexico. And I was like, okay, I'm going to study. Yeah, I couldn't. I was acting and, you know, working, leaving my house at 5 a.m. And coming back at 9, 10 p.m. every day from Monday through Saturday. So obviously Sundays, I was not like, I couldn't open a book. I was just like, I just need to relax and eat. And that's it. And have fun one day. I mean, not that I don't have fun in set, but it's work. It's still work.
Right.
And I was driving, well, not me, because they gave us a driver, but it was like almost 2 hours outside of the city every day to film this show. So I was really exhausted. And anyway, so make long story short, when I came back, I continued studying, and then I went back, and then I had a little, I needed a little time away from LA, because even though it's incredible, sometimes it can be frustrating if things are not happening the way you want, right? So I went to Miami to visit my friends, and I stayed there for a couple of weeks. And then when I came back, I was like, okay, I'm going to get things moving with my sister for the real estate and the staging company, because she also wanted me to open a staging company here in LA, like the same. She was like, it's a perfect combination, staging with real estate. So you can do both incredibly. So I was supposed to go see my sister, and I came back from Miami the next day. She passed away. So it was unexpected. I kind of like put a pause in my acting career also, because I was like, I'm going to honor my sister's life with real estate. And even though at the beginning it was like, I'm going to honor my sister's life with the staging company, but nothing was happening. She was pretty much pushing me to do the real estate, you know, from up there. And she continues to guide me and to inspire me and everything. So
that's incredible.
I'm getting emotional. Sorry.
Okay. Need to take a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
you're right.
No, it's okay. Fine. It's part of the process.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's part of, you know, I like to be open with about my grief.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
So you started this company. So the staging company, even the concept of a staging company, you said it in passing, but for me as a normal person, I don't suppose staging is something other than maybe when I do a photo shoot, but staging isn't something that I'm massively familiar with. So if someone's selling the house, you come in and you kind of make it look beautiful, ready for the...
Exactly, which obviously will add value.
Right.
Yeah, it will add value to the house, because, you know, some people won't have the visual idea, this can look amazing if I put this here. So you as a stager need to come up with an incredible kind of like interior design,
mm-hmm.
to make the house look even better and more like homey more elegant or more modern or more, you know, depending obviously on the house. You have to have a conversation also with the realtor and see what he wants from that home so you can make it happen and create like a stage.
So I suppose then from day one within your kind of staging and real estate career, these were nice houses, big houses, right? I mean, that's the kind of house you would be staging. I don't imagine you're staging a kind of a lower budget house. Are we looking at like big mansions from day one?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, this is the thing. Like the furniture that my sister had, which is obviously what I got from, you know, when she passed away, it was very San Diego style, which is, there's nothing wrong with San Diego. It's actually incredible. It's beautiful. And it would be a city that I would happily live in. But it's different in the way they do furniture. So my sister used to do like mansions with this furniture, but here mansions are more like super mega modern, like another level of furniture. So the furniture that I have was more like for maybe a $2 million, $3 million house, which here are obviously those are not mansions. And I think I was at the beginning looking in the wrong places, because I was like, oh, she was able to, you know, the furniture there in those houses, then I can do it here in the same houses. And I was going to the wrong, you know, going to the wrong place. Mm-hmm. I was completely new at this. I didn't know how to do it. Like nobody taught me. She didn't tell me anything about the business. We didn't have time for that. So I pretty much dive in.
Mm-hmm.
Or however you say it, dove in,
uh-huh.
into a completely new thing, and it was not working. So it was imagined, like, I was like, wow, what am I doing wrong? And especially because it was her business and she put so much love and effort into it that I was even more upset with things not happening. So that's why I asked her for a sign, because I was like, I'm not, what's happening? Why is not flowing? And then, you know, the reason why I wasn't flowing is was because I needed to follow her guidance and become a realtor. And then my life really took a very incredible change.
Yeah. Okay. And so then how did you transition from being a realtor to the, I mean, selling Sunset? How does that work? Is that a real job? Or is it a job that's created for the TV show? Or how does that all work out?
Yeah, I mean, I was in another company. I was found by the producers. They, you know, I did my audition and they cast me. Mm-hmm. It's real. Like, people, we do have license. I know that a lot of people say that, oh, they're not even realtors. No, we are realtors. We do sell houses. Mm-hmm. But I guess that some people think that is like, because we're in the show, we're, you know, we have 20 houses at the same time, which is not true. Obviously, it doesn't happen like that. And of course, we put a lot of our personal lives into the Instagram and whatever they see, because that's, you know, it's part of our lives too. And when you're doing reality TV, and especially that show, it involves a little bit about your personal life as well. So, you know, it's not that we only do reality. We do other things as well. But right. It is real. Like, there's an office, you know, people work there, and then obviously when the show films there, then that's all you see is what's happening.
And so in the time that you've been doing that, you must have seen much more of the city than, presumably, than you'd seen before when you were, you know, when you were working as an actress, where maybe you had kind of a set routine and you were only going to certain neighborhoods. Now, if you're working in real estate, you're out and about, you're seeing the city. How did you, you live in Marina Del Rey?
What made you
choose that neighborhood over other neighborhoods, and what do you feel about, like, you know, for me, I'm going to be moving, which mm-hmm. neighborhoods would you be recommending? Where would you send people? Which are the popular areas? Where would you kind of be recommending for people?
I mean, I think it depends on a lot of things. For me, the ocean is my favorite thing. So I do want to live close to the ocean. There's mm-hmm. nothing that I love more. And I mean, I didn't have the ocean in my city, in Mexico City. So, you know, I mean, I guess it depends for everyone. It depends for depending on what you like. I am an ocean lover. I cannot have the idea that I have ocean in the city that I live, and I'm far from it. I had it and I lived it and I experienced it. And when I moved closer to the ocean, I was definitely way happier. So I think it depends. What do you like? What do you prefer? Do you prefer, obviously, if you want more space, I prefer to sacrifice the space of the place that I live, you know, and be close to the ocean, than to have a bigger house and live so far away in the mountains or in the valley. You know, like I'm not that keen on that. So I live everywhere in LA. I live in the valley. I live in Hollywood. I live in West Hollywood. I live in Brentwood. I live in Venice, and I live in Marina. And definitely West Side is what makes me the happiest. And I lived in Malibu for a little while. So definitely Oceanside is what makes me the happiest. Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend you is, what do you like? Do you prefer space? Do you want, do you love the ocean too? Like, some people love hiking. So definitely then move closer to where you can do hiking. So I think it depends on what you like. So I would recommend based on the needs and the things that people like and prefer.
Yeah. And I think uh-huh. that's it, because for me, I do have my shopping list is quite specific, because I mean, I have a child, I'm a single parent. Mm-hmm. So that is going to dictate a lot of it, because what it means is we have to be somewhere where the schools are good. Mm-hmm. We have to be somewhere that's close to where I might be working, because I don't have the flexibility of spending hours a day commuting, because he only has one parent. Right. I need to get home.
Right.
I also promised him a swimming pool.
Oh, I love it. So, well, don't worry about it. There's a lot of swimming pools here. I mean, there's loads of buildings with swimming pools. So I'm sure we can find you something incredible. Don't worry.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I've lived in Santa Monica. So I studied at UCLA for 6 months, a long time ago.
Awesome.
And so I lived in Santa Monica then. So I know Santa Monica. And I had kind of thought that might be a good option. But funnily, I all of my friends that live more kind of into LA, like further away from the coast, they're all like, oh, if you live in Santa Monica, we're never going to see you. It's too far. It's
see?
Too isolated.
That's LA people. Like, why? They just make an effort, or we can meet in the middle.
Right.
See?
I know, and I'm like, hang on a minute. I live in England right now. Surely Santa Monica is easier for you to see me than
exactly.
England.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I agree with you. I want to be at least closer to the coast. I have, like, friends that had recommended, like Pasadena.
I mean, where are you
going to
work? Do you know?
Well, I can put the office wherever I want to put the office, but it has to be where I'm going to find other people in PR. So probably either West Hollywood or maybe Culver City, or maybe, I don't know, wherever.
Maybe Westwood or Brentwood could be a good option for you, especially because of schools.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll be
sure. And then you're kind of close to the ocean. You're not that far from the ocean. But, you know, for schools, I mean, not that Santa Monica does not have good schools, but definitely, well, Santa Monica is going to have more like a vacation vibe for your son, too, you know?
Yeah.
Depends on which part of Santa Monica. Definitely, you'll get something smaller in Santa Monica with, you know, with the same budget that you can probably get something a little bit bigger in. So it's all depending on your needs and what you love. So, but we'll look when you come.
Yeah. No, I will definitely be, I'll be sharing my top choices with you to get your opinion before I commit to anything. I'll see what you think. But awesome. Yeah, no, it's exciting. So you've told me what you love about LA. What do you not love? Like, what's the one thing that you would change about the city if you could?
I think the homeless situation.
Mm.
It's really sad. You know, I hope there's really a change in that. It breaks my heart to see, you know, so many people homeless. It's crazy. But other than that, like, the city is incredible. It's beautiful. You have everything and different scenarios everywhere you go. Like, one city is completely different to the other, meaning, like, if you're in Venice, it has a style. Santa Monica has another vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, Marina has another. Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, West Hollywood. Like, it's so much. There's so much and so many things to do here and so many different vibes that it's awesome.
It's exciting. So do you have any recommended spots? Obviously there's all the tourist spots that everyone knows, but what about like Vanessa's top spots? Where would you, if you have someone to come to visit, let's say from out of town, where do you take them?
Oh wow. Definitely Griffith Observatory, where I got engaged. I mean, we got engaged there. It's one of my, now it's my favorite place on earth. The Hollywood, obviously, and you can see the Hollywood sign from there. The Getty Museum is spectacular. It's one of my favorite, you know, museums in LA. Malibu. Malibu is another of my top three. Santa Monica Pier. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm, you know, very touristic places I'm giving you. I think those would be my top four.
Best spot for Mexican food?
Best spot for Mexican food? Vanessa's house.
can I come over whenever I need some chilaquiles?
Of course. I think there's a very cool Mexican restaurant in Beverly Hills called Frida. I think that's one of my favorites, yeah. And the vibe is awesome, you know, the design of the restaurant and the food is good. Yeah, really good.
One piece of advice that you would give to somebody that was thinking about moving to LA?
An advice that I would give is, yeah, definitely choose a place where you would be happy living, like where you're going to enjoy living, because definitely can be a lonely city. But there's also, like I said, like so many incredible things happening here. And any dream that you have, if you dream and then you make things happen, it happens.
So I love that.
My advice would be to live where you're going to be happy living. Doesn't matter where you work, and if you have to drive a little bit more, But when you're going to come back home, you're going to be happy. And if you spend more time at home, you'll be like, oh, I love where I live, and not sacrifice where you live to be in the city. That's where I would, that would be my advice.
That's great advice. I love that. Mm-hmm. Vanessa, what are you up to these days, and where can people follow you and find out a bit more?
Well, I'm up to my butterfly line, which is incredible. I created the Wave of Love for all my audience and the people to spread more love into the world, more positivity, friendship, sisterhood, empowerment, hope, faith, and all these things that we, you know, butterflies for me are magical. Not only represent, you know, when someone passes away, which for a lot of people do. One of the first things I noticed when my sister passed away was that there was a lot of butterflies around me. And I always loved butterflies. And I didn't know that my name means butterfly too.
Oh.
I didn't know until, you know, probably a few months ago. But anyways, butterflies were all around me and everything. And it just reminded me of my sister. So I got myself a butterfly. And every time people will ask me, and I think every time I would feel sad or something, I would just grab my butterfly. And I would remember my sister, but I also remember how butterflies are super powerful. They can go in cocoon. They go in cocoon period. They're like in the dark moment, let's say depression or doubt or fear or a breakup or loss of a job or whatever. And then you go into cocoon period. But if you pour love into your heart and into yourself and believe in yourself, you can fly again and spread your wings and become this beautiful, you know, incredible, unstoppable creature that, you know, butterflies are. And so the meaning of this brand is that, to empower others and to spread more love and positivity. So you can wear, you know, a necklace, you can wear your ring, you can wear your sunglasses, you can wear anything. And I'm going to come up with more things. I'm going to release some notebooks very soon. And you know, we're working on hoodies and denim jackets. And the idea is for me to... So everyone can have a butterfly in their lives. And whenever they feel down or even happy, you celebrate life too with a butterfly. So you can gift one to yourself or to your friends. And yeah, and it's a wave of love. That's what I want to do with my life. I want to empower people. I want to inspire other women, especially women. I think not that I don't want to empower or inspire men. Of course I do. But I think that women, sometimes we have it way more difficult. We're still in a little like macho world. It obviously is changing and it's dramatically changed, but women have it a little bit more difficult, like you know, like you are a single mom. You know, it's not that easy. And it's even more incredible to see women succeeding like you, that when you have to take care of your kid, of your house, and also go and work and succeed. So I love helping other women and empower. That's my goal and path. And I'm also creating some acting projects. So that's something that will come as well. I'm really excited about... I'm a wife now, so that's an incredible life. And then that's it right now. So you can find me on Vane Villela on Twitter with one N. And Vane Villela. And my website is VanessaVillela.com for the Wave of Love. And there's obviously a lot of things that are going to start happening there. Also, I'm working on my Finding Happy Lives, which I did one with you. And it's just to inspire people to tell stories about how you make your life incredible, even though you have gone through difficult moments, because we all do and we all need support and to create a community of light and love.
So much positivity. I love it, because I think life isn't always about everything being super easy and super straightforward, but rather learning and growing and developing resilience and strength from the situations you go through. And I think that you've shown that. I mean, with everything that you just told me about your sister and, you know, the incredible new career that you've built for yourself. I mean, it's really amazing. It's really inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks so much, Vanessa. I will put the links to Vanessa's page and her socials in the show notes as well, so that people can find it there.
Thank you so much, Laura.
See you in LA soon. Everyone. For Mexican food.
Oh my God,
yes?
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to give you a hug in person.
Yes. Lovely is Vanessa. I just feel so lucky to have had her on the podcast and to have worked with her on a few different projects over the last few months. via her wonderful Mancunian husband. Who knew that a Manchester connection would lead me to Selling Sunset? It's funny, because I think I mentioned in the other episode, when I was in LA a year ago, I was actually staying around the corner from the Oppenheim Group, and I went and I snapped a picture outside their office, a little selfie. I even peered in through the window. Little did I know that a future friend of mine could well have been sat in there at that time. She probably looked at me and was like, who the hell is that? But there you go. She's a wonderful example of positivity and how having a positive attitude can lead to all sorts of things, including a brand new career. So thank you again to Vanessa for coming on. And I will put all of the links to her social handles in the show notes. Check her out, see what she's up to. I think every time I speak to a different guest, it really does fill me with positivity and galvanize me and make me feel more and more optimistic that the LA story for me is just about to start. You know, it's easy to start to kind of get a bit down about it and think how long things are taking. But in the grand scheme of life, what's a few extra weeks, right? And I mean, maybe I'll rue the day that I said this, but I think the visa will come through. I think it's going to be fine. I trust that it's going to be fine. And I trust that in a few weeks, the reign of Manchester, maybe I'll miss it. I'll certainly miss my family, but I am so excited for that sunshine and just the sense of possibility that I feel like this move is going to mean for us. So guys, cross everything, fingers, toes, arms, legs. If you pray, then pray for us. Because the next time you hear from me, as I said, will be when I have an answer. And I won't be revealing before then. Well, maybe I will. Follow me on Instagram. Maybe I won't be able to keep it in. Maybe I will reveal before then. But it will be the next time from a podcast standpoint, the next time you hear from me, will be once I know if I've got my visa, yes or no. And there'll be movement and there'll be steps and I'll be planning my visit to choose a house. So please join me on that journey. If you've joined me this far, if you've joined me through the stagnating month of January, then I'm absolutely sure you're not going to want to miss the action-packed month of February. Thank you so, so much for your support. As ever, all the wonderful comments, the listeners, the subscriptions, the reviews on Apple and on Spotify. I mean, honestly, everyone has been so incredibly positive. It's made me really, really love doing this even more. So thank you again. And I shall look forward to catching up in a couple weeks. And if you don't hear from me, don't ask. It's because I don't know. Over and out. See you soon. Bye, guys.